Hey everybody, we're going to get started. Welcome, it's Tad Hargrave here from Marketing for Hippies. And I am so excited to have you all as a part of this. And it's been so exciting to see your comments and everything go up on the Facebook group that we're using here. We've got, let me see, how many people on the Facebook group? 25 people as a part of the Facebook group, so I think there may be a few more who will be joining, but it's just so exciting to have you all, and I'm really excited about this call, and as we're going through it, by the way, I have the Facebook group in front of me, so if you want to ask any questions or clarify, if you missed something I said, feel free to just write a little comment, and I'll be refreshing it as we go through to see what questions you have. So this six-week program has been a long time in the making. I've been wanting to do it for 2 years because I, for the last decade, have been traveling around North America doing these workshops. And one of the things I noticed was that a weekend is a bit of a mixed bag. The strength of a weekend is that you can get – there's so much immersion. There's so much intensity that can happen. And because of that, almost like making popcorn. You put it in that kind of heat and things can pop. But it can also – I'm sure you've experienced – I know I have. It can also be kind of overwhelming, and it's so much information just all at once. So I loved the idea of having a way for people to just integrate it over time into their work. So that's what the 6 weeks really allows. And I want to be clear about my intentions for the 6 weeks and what this is about to make sure we're all on the same page. So this is Marketing 101 for holistic practitioners. And the 101 part is important. There's so much to cover. There's so much that we could learn. And I really want this course to give you a very firm grounding in the basics, because I think that's what most practitioners I come across need, is a real basic map of it. There's so many courses that you can take on marketing out there. There's so many tools and tactics. And that can feel, I think, kind of overwhelming. And I think most of us just need a real basic grasp, the 101 of marketing. And my intention is at the end of this 6 weeks, you are feeling clearer than you've ever felt, clear about a few things, clear about where you're clear, but also clear about where you aren't clear, clearer about where you need growth, and maybe even most importantly, clear about where you're stuck, because there's nothing worse, you know, and that for those of you who are holistic health practitioners, which is most of you in this call, you know, your clients come to you and they've got some condition, some situation that's frustrating them. And having that condition is a pain in the ass. Not knowing why you have that condition, that's really frustrating. I apologize. I've got a bit of a cough right now. So the same thing I found true in marketing is, some people will do so much work. They'll make the business cards, the brochures, the logos. They'll do all the fancy stuff. And they don't have the clients they want. And they don't know why, because it seems like they're doing everything right. And I think by the end of the 6 weeks, you're going to have a real clear sense of what the leverage points are and where you can focus. So I hope that feels exciting for everybody, because that's what we're going to be talking about. And just a word, too, if you're struggling with marketing, which, you know, I guess you are in some way if you're here, it's really – I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of. Most of us took a lot of courses, invested a lot of money learning how to do what we do, but we never learned how to market what we do. We learned how to be good at it but not how to talk about it. And often the things that we're doing aren't so cut and dry. They're not so easy to talk about. So – I think most of us just never got the education on this. And so this is kind of the course that I wish every holistic college would teach as a basis. So a couple of things logistically as we get going on this. First of all, in the Facebook group, you'll notice that every single time somebody posts, you probably get a notification. And on the upper right-hand side of it, you'll see a little box saying notifications with a green check mark. You can turn those off, which means you won't get notifications every single time somebody posts. But if you want to get them, you know, to see what's happening in the group, feel free to keep that on. But I know sometimes for me that can be a little overwhelming. And Marcella just made a really good point that if you refresh the page, then you'll see the latest comments. So that's one logistical thing. The other logistical thing is I really want to encourage you all to be getting a marketing buddy. This is super important. Throughout this course, you can do work on your own, and I think having these calls is going to help you stay on track. But nothing that I can think of is more useful on a practical level than having a marketing buddy, somebody you could talk to once a week in between these calls. They don't even have to have a business. They just have to be somebody who can sit there, listen, go through some of the exercises, ask you questions, reflect what they're hearing. So those are a couple of things that I think are going to help. We're going to start off the 6 weeks pretty easy because there's a lot to go over. But we're going to start off pretty basic and gentle, and we'll get kind of grittier as we go along. Let's see where to start. I guess I want to talk about, first of all, why marketing matters. And that may seem obvious, but I think it's good for us to ground ourselves in why we're here beyond just the obvious. Because I know all of us have pretty mixed feelings about marketing, myself included. There's a lot of marketing out there that's really gross. I'm even seeing it, I guess for all of us it's a constant question, but even in the sort of conscious marketing scene, some of that can still feel really gross, and sometimes even more gross because it's not supposed to be. But there can be a lot of this kind of pushiness, aggressive kind of manipulative tactics, and that's not what this course is about. So this is really about a different way of looking at marketing. And to me, there are five reasons why marketing matters so much. I'll see if I can remember them. So the first one is that if you handle your marketing, you're going to get more clients, make more money, period. That's obvious. Number two, though, is when I look at the world right now and I see where we're at, and I see all the problems, I see that also most of the solutions exist too. You know, we've got permaculture, we've got straw bale, we've got all these holistic modalities, we've got solar power. We've got so many of the solutions there. But if people don't know about these solutions, functionally they don't exist. And people finding out about stuff, that's marketing. So that's number two. Number three is I think that people there are a lot of people who would love to be doing what you're doing, would love to even experiment with it, but they're stuck in this 9-to-5 job or they're stuck in whatever kind of reality they're stuck in. And they look at people like us. And, you know, I would suggest that you are where you are because of people who came before you. And they may not even have had any idea how much they inspired you to be doing what you're doing right now. But that's the point. They probably don't know. You probably didn't tell them. There are people looking at you, a lot more people than you think. And if they look at us and we're struggling and broke and miserable, they're not going to move. David Corton once said, we can't talk these changes to death. We need to live them into being. And I think there are a few things we can do that are going to be more inspiring for people than actually making our own initiatives work. Because if people can look at us and say, wow, they are thriving and doing well financially, they're taking care of themselves, their needs are met, and it seems really fun, I can't think of anything that's going to move them more to do it. No book, no listening to a talk, seeing somebody really do it matters. That's number two, I think. Number three, I've lost track. I'll keep going. Another reason why this matters is I think marketing will make you better at what you do. Marketing makes you better at what you do because you're going to find as we go through this, marketing works when it's clear. There's an old adage in marketing that the confused mind says no. And you'll probably hear that a lot over the 6 weeks. The confused mind says no. What we want most from our marketing is clarity. when we have clarity, marketing works. When we don't, it doesn't. Because when people are confused, it's like a low level of emotional pain and people run away from it. Here's a phrase you'll never hear anyone say at a cocktail party. they say, what do you do? And the person explains what they do, and they say, oh my God, I have like no idea what you're talking about or what you just said. Can I hire you? Can I book a session? You know, the confusion doesn't tend to have people leaning in and wanting to learn more and more. So marketing requires clarity. It just doesn't broker any fuzziness. It's a super hard task mistress in that. And because of that, it forces us to answer questions about why we do what we do, how we do it. And in the articulation, that clarity sometimes, and often in fact, reflects back into how we do what we do. When we get extra clear what we're about, that shows up in more in what we do. Because now we're remembering like, oh, right, this is really about this. I'm going to bring that quality more into my work. I see it again and again as we hone in on our marketing and use marketing almost as a spiritual path of clarifying what the hell we're about. Of course, that clarity shows up in more precision in our work, more effectiveness, more results, more clients, which means we get more practice, which means we get better at what we do, et cetera. So marketing makes us better at what we do. And the last thing, reason I think marketing matters so much is as you learn this, and this is the thing I'm actually most excited about with it, is that as you learn about marketing and get a grip on it, you become better able to help your friends with their marketing. You know, I'm sure you've got a lot of friends who aren't in this course or, you know, may not be a fit for, but they're struggling. As you learn this, you're going to be able to help them better. And thank you so much. Margaret is having trouble getting in. She's in. Hooray. Thank you, team. Kathy, good hustle. Nice work. Yeah, so that's why marketing matters for me. You're going to make more money. It helps the world. It inspires other people. You'll be better at what you do, and you'll be able to help your friends. So, hooray. As we start talking about marketing, people have some feelings that come up around this. And part of there are two basic dynamics that I find happen in marketing. And if you read some of the pre-reading, you'll be familiar with this. But just to review it for those of you who didn't, the two basic dynamics are collapsing or posturing. Collapsing or posturing. Collapsing, the most obvious example, shows up around money. So, you know, two people are talking and one of them says, yeah, I'd love to hire you. How much do you charge? And the other one says, oh, $100. But then the person kind of winces and is like, oh. $100, and immediately there's or $75 or $50, $25. How about $10? How about I pay you? I can pay you. It's the first time. Why don't I just pay you to work with me? And there's this immediate collapse. There's this immediate giving in. There's this lose win feeling. Like I'm gonna lose so you can win. I'm gonna martyr myself so I can give. And there's this a lot of the rhetoric that you'll hear is about I just want to be of service. I just want to give. But what's not said is that it's totally at their expense, which means they will resent it. And these people snap one day and they get really bitter. And why doesn't the universe support me? I'm giving so much, etc. So that's the collapsing. And it comes from an agenda. And the agenda is, please like me. I want you to love me. I need everybody to love me. And so if we do anything that might have somebody not like us, we can't do that, so we're going to have to people-please a lot. And when that happens in marketing, it shows up in undercharging, it shows up in accepting clients that really aren't a fit, that you really don't want to work with, in a lot of ways. The other pole is posturing. And posturing is, I think of like Donald Trump as like posturing. There's the suit. It's all slick. It seems pretty plastic. Very put on, and there's a real agenda here of like, you will respect me. There's sort of a commanding of respect, and it's often this very win-lose orientation where people are in a posturing or just all about getting the sale, going for the close, and so they win, and they kind of don't care if everyone else loses. The posturing thing is real concerned about the numbers, real concerned about how are people seeing them and their reputation. So if they're going to do a pitch from the stage, they're just going to try to get as many people to sign up as possible not considering whether it's actually a fit for those people necessarily. And so, yeah, so that's the nutshell of posturing. My experience is that most of the mainstream business scene and sales and marketing scene is very posturing oriented, and most of the holistic scene is very collapsing oriented. And the challenge is sometimes people in the holistic scene try out, they go to these marketing courses. I don't know if any of you've had the misfortune to be at some of these, but go to some of them and they learn some of these posturing techniques and they try it. Sometimes it works, and a lot of times it backfires because people are like, "What happened to you? You changed so much. Where's this friend of mine that I love and I miss now?" And yeah, and Allison just posted that it seems like posturing is what most of us associate with marketing, which is why we don't want to do it. With true, I'd say that's very true. And but this is a challenge. It gets seen as like it's either posturing or collapsing. So people are like, "Well, I don't want to posture, so I'll just collapse," and that becomes the default. And I want to suggest that there's a third alternative. If you think of like posturing and collapsing as two points on a line, think of it more like a triangle. And the third point above it, not in between, because I think most people try to end up feeling like they need to do this muddied, watered down in between, sort of posturing enough that you get some results, but collapsing enough that people don't think you're an asshole. There's a third point above, which is composure. And composure is the place that I want us to all practice coming from, and that all of this work is really based around. And composure is this real commitment to win-win. It's a commit. There is an agenda here still, but the agenda is about the truth of is this a fit or not? Can I help you or not? That's the whole basis of this. So we still have conversations with people, but it's from this place of curiosity, not control, not trying to manipulate somebody into making a decision that really isn't right for them. yeah. So I'm curious how this is all landing for people. If you, it's strange to be talking and not hearing any responses, or but for the recording, we need to keep it muted. So if anyone has any reflections and you want to post them on the Facebook group, please feel free to do that. And so that's kind of the foundation. So in this call, if you saw the sales letter, we're going to be talking about the three sort of core foundational elements of your practice. And there are three things. There's your platform, the container, and the paths. The platform, the container, and the paths. So I'm going to talk about this for 20 or 30 minutes, and then we'll open it up to Q&A, and we'll have a discussion. And I'll probably invite most of the questions to be on the Facebook group because it can get crazy over the phone, but we might give it a try. So, yeah, I'm just curious how this is landing for you all so far. Curiosity is Lorraine's middle name. Excellent. And I'm curious if there are any questions or reflections from what we've talked about so far. If there are, please just throw them up on the Facebook group if you have any questions or reflections. Margaret was saying the posturing and collapsing was some of the helpful reading so far. That's good. It's sometimes. One of my hopes is as we go through the 6 weeks, you start to see the things maybe that you haven't seen yet. It's like the old idea that the fish were the last to discover water because they're swimming in it. And we're often swimming in this stuff and we can't see it. Sammy is saying, I have to pause if I want comments because she doesn't want to miss what I'm saying. Cool. So, let's see. So yeah, so that's the basis. So let's slowly move into these three elements of the platform, container, and paths. Cool. I'm loving these comments, everybody. Tim, Marcella, Kathy, thank you so much. So the first is this idea of the platform. And Lucia can really relate to the collapsing dynamic. Okay, I'm going to pause just while some comments are coming in to see if there's anything I can. Right. Okay. I'm loving all the comments, everybody. Thank you. It feels less like I'm talking into a void with the comments. Okay, I'm going to move on. Feel free to post comments if you like. So I'm going to give the nutshell of these three, and then I'll go in a bit more in more depth. So the platform is what you're known for. This is the first thing. Marketing works based on word of mouth. That has always been and will always be the most powerful form of marketing. It's friends telling friends because they want to help their friends. And friends listening to their friends because they trust them, because their friends are independent. They're not getting paid. It's not marketing. It's just, you know, word of mouth. And yet word of mouth works because of clarity. That word comes back again. When people, the clearer somebody is about what you do, the more easily they're able to talk about it. The better they know who it might be a fit for, whether it's a fit for them. And so we get back to this question of fit, and is it a match? Is it a fit? So the platform is really the basis for all of that. Before we even talk about win-win, we have to figure out, well, what is a win? Who'd be a perfect client for us? And we're going to talk about that more in session three. But the platform is where that starts. We have to be known for something. And what I would suggest, and we'll be talking about this more in session two, is that there are six things that you can be known for. Six different things. And most practitioners and entrepreneurs in general pick one of those. And it's often the least flexible one and the least effective one. The way that most people pick out of those six, the one they pick is sort of being known for what they do, how they do it. So in the case of most practitioners, they get known for a particular modality or some combination of modalities. So they're known as a yoga teacher, massage therapist, Reiki practitioner, quantum healing, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so we need to figure out what we want to be known for. And in the 6 weeks, you're going to be looking at how you can expand that. So we don't get rid of being known for those things, what you do, how you do it. That's a part of it. But I think you're going to find it's like we're not trying to take a square and turn it into a circle. It's like taking a square and turning it into a cube and adding more dimension to it, taking a circle and turning it into a sphere, a pyramid, or triangle into a pyramid, where we're going to give much more depth and dimension to your platform. Because you already have a platform. You are already known for something. But I think we're going to give it more depth and dimension. So and number two is the container. And so the container is sort of like once they show up, do they want to stick around? The metaphor I used in a recent blog post about this is like a bucket. The platform is like the blueprints for your bucket, and the container is the actual bucket. And for most practitioners, they have a very leaky bucket. In fact, there's almost like no bottom on the bucket. So a new client comes in and then just falls right through. And when they leave the well, they've got no water. They have kind of the memory. It's worse almost in a way. Now the bucket's wet. So they're like, oh, I'm not crazy. There was water here. It's wet. Shit, my bucket is wet, but I'm still thirsty. So we don't want a leaky bucket. We want a bucket that is going to actually hold the water and be able to carry it with us to sustain us over time. And we want the bucket to be, a bucket that we really want to carry around. Because some people have a bucket that's okay, but it's ugly. And they're embarrassed. They, you know, kind of walk through town with their bucket, and I don't know, maybe it's some garish, terrible colors. I don't know. It's an ugly bucket, a bucket that you wouldn't want to be seen carrying. And so what will happen is people almost leave it at home and don't bring it out. I used to have my website. You know, website is a great example of the container. And I was embarrassed, my old tadhargrave.com website. and I used to like it, and then I liked it less and less. And then it got to a point where people say, do you have a website? And I'd say, but let me just give you my email, because I wouldn't even want people to see it. I would do like everything I could to avoid having people go to my website. Now with marketingforhippies.com, I actually really love it, and I love sharing it. So you want your bucket, your container, to be something you're so excited about. And another way to look at the container is your container is the expression of your platform. So whatever it is you want to be known for, whatever it is you're about, that is expressed physically in the container. And another way to look at the container is the metaphor I use a lot, if you follow my work at all, is the idea of people being on island A and they want to be on island B. And we're going to talk about this a lot tomorrow. So they're on island A where they're struggling with their marketing. Or not marketing, they're struggling with some issue. Maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's money, relationships, or they're just stressed out and sense of spiritual ennui. And they want to be on island B where they're healthier, have more money, better relationships, they're at peace, whatever it is. So they're on this journey from island A to island B. And your business is the boat that takes them from island A to island B. What I would suggest is that your business or your boat is the container. And the third part are the paths. So we've got the platform, the container, and the paths. And the paths are what get people to the boat. The paths are like the faucets we turn that the water comes out of that fills up our bucket. Because there's no point in having a beautifully designed bucket that you love that's just so you that's always empty because you can't get to any water. There's no point in having this beautiful, amazing boat that takes people on this excellent journey, but there are no paths to the boat. Nobody knows about the boat. Nobody ever shows up. There's no point in having your home decorated for this beautiful theme party, but no invitations have gone out. So we've got these three, the container, or the platform, the container, and the paths. And consider what happens if you try to, and think about these as like a Venn diagram, three circles that overlap, because they all impact each other. Think about what happens if you have a platform and the container, but no paths. Again, you've got this awesome thing that's really unique and dimensional and rich, and like the more people learn about it, the better it is, but nobody knows about it. If you have the container and the paths, but no platform, I see this a lot. What you've got is something where it's like slick. It's a website that has all the bells and whistles. It has all the right pages, all the right elements. It's got the subscribe box with a free gift. It's got the beautiful photos, all this. And I find myself not caring. I just don't give a shit about it. There's nothing unique about it. It's got all, you can check everything off. But there's nothing that screams, oh, this is unique. This is a person that did this that's wonderful and beautiful and special. It seems a bit posturey often. So we don't want that. And if you have a really strong platform and the paths but no container, what happens is like people are like, wow, there's this cool – people hear about you and you get a lot of buzz but no business from it. And I see this a lot. I've seen so many of my friends who have really clear platforms. They're really great people. And they get covered in the media, in the paper, on TV. And they're so excited. And it turns into no business for them. Because they either don't have a website, or when people go to the website, there's nowhere to sign up. There's nowhere to sort of enter their name, get on an email list, etc. And so they're like, God, I've gotten all this exposure. And yet, no new business. And so those are the three. So what I'm going to invite you to do, let's take a minute of just reflection. And I want you to think about where are you right now in terms of your platform, your container, and your paths. Which one feels strongest for you? Which one feels weakest? And I know we haven't gone into detail about all of them and exactly what the elements are, so maybe a little bit tricky. But I want you to think about that, and then feel free to just pop any questions you have about those three onto the wall. So I'll take a minute just in silence. So enjoy. I'm still here, everybody. Just going to let a few more questions and comments pop up. Hey, everybody. So it seems like most people are saying all three. It seems like the container is pretty strong for a lot of people, but there's a general sort of need to work with all three. Yeah, and this is part of what I want to lift up is the way that some examples of paths. Thank you, Paolo. God bless you. I kind of skipped over the paths. Let me say a few words about this. First of all, these are all so connected. A shift in one will shift the others. Improving one improves the others. It's hard to separate them in some ways. It's a bit artificial, but I think it's useful to be able to chunk things out. So when we talk about the paths, it's however people find out about your business. And there are a lot of ways we could do this. There's public speaking, writing, social media, PR, advertising, hosting events, networking. All of those are paths, meaning they're ways that people could come across you. It's like the trail of breadcrumbs that you leave for people to find you. So you wrote an article, it's online, and somebody finds it, sees the link to your website, and goes to your website. That's a path that they could follow. Word of mouth, you know, is obviously a pretty predominant path. They come to a workshop that you're speaking at, and through that, they get connected to you. That's a path. You post something on social media, they come across it through a friend, they find you. That's a path. So there are lots of different paths, and here's the main thing I want to say, and we'll go into this more tomorrow, but Weight Watchers has a great line where they're talking about weight loss, and they say, you know, there's one form of exercise that's proven to be the most effective for weight loss, and there's no debate about this. It's just proven to be the most effective form for weight loss. And they have people guess what it is. And people guess running, walking, swimming, you know, et cetera. And then they say, here's the truth. The most effective form of exercise for weight loss is the one you'll do. You know, it doesn't matter if walking is technically the best form of exercise. If you hate walking, you won't do it, and therefore it's not the best. And it's the same with marketing. It doesn't matter if public speaking is an excellent form of marketing, and it is. If you're terrified of public speaking and you just won't do it, it's not that great. If you're going to avoid it, if it's going to stress you out, eventually you will avoid it, or you're just going to suffer. It's not that great. But maybe you love writing. Maybe you love networking. So the point with the paths are you want to pick the ones that are the most natural fit for you, the most, the best, most effective fit for you. I love being on the computer. I love social media, at least at this point in my life. And I have friends who've just gotten off Facebook entirely because they just can't stand it. And so if I were to say you have to use social media, they'd probably resent that. Some people write all the time. Some of you probably do a lot of writing just because you can't help yourself. It's just a way that you creatively express yourself. And so writing might be an awesome form of marketing for you. Other people really struggle with this, and then, you know, oh, God, I don't write, but somebody tells me I have to, you know, write, so I'm going to, because I got to do this blog. Maybe not. Maybe not. Margaret Rinaldi just said, what a relief. I thought I had to do things I hate, so I've shied away. Yeah, I see this a lot, because here's the thing. If you're a baker, you're going to tell people to bake. If you're a carpenter, you're going to tell people to hammer things or something, you know, or it would, that's a terrible metaphor. If you have a hammer, you think everything's a nail. Apologies to carpenters in the group. But so people will, you know, who are social media experts will, of course, tell you that social media is the way. And here's the relief. You don't have to do social media. You don't have to do public speaking. You don't have to do any of it. Now, you have to do something. Obviously, you have to have some path. But we'll talk about it tomorrow more. But I recommend picking, like, your top three, the three that you most resonate with, because they all work great. Everything works is the beautiful part of it. Yeah, everything works. Every form of marketing can be effective. It works if you know how to work it, if you know the system. And we'll go into some of the most important keys of each of these as we get towards the end. And there is one thing, though, with the paths. There's one piece that if you add it to any of these paths, it immediately doubles, triples, sometimes even like 10 times the effectiveness on the paths. It sounds like hype, and it's not. But there's one dynamic, one element that if you add it to any of the paths, it just takes it from being marginal to being extremely effective. And I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. I'm going to save it for another call. So you better be there or listen to the call when we start talking about the paths. So take that. So those are the three. So again, we've got your platform, we've got the container, and we've got the paths. You need to have a thing that's really clear and unique and distinct. You need to have a good container, a way to deal with the people once they show up. And we need to have paths, ways that they can find us. That seems really basic and obvious in some ways. But again, I find most of us struggle with this. Let's, now that we've got the three, I would love to just put it out to any questions that people have. So again, I'm going to pause for a minute or two, so it'll be silent. But I'd love to just hear what questions you have around platforms, containers, and paths. So I'll take a couple of minutes of silence. So just reflect, see what questions you have. Let's take one more minute. So write any questions you have on the Facebook group wall there. What are your biggest questions? Where are you struggling around this question of platforms, containers, and paths? We'll be going into it more over the future 5 weeks. But let's hear what you've got. So let's take one more minute. These are great comments, everybody. I really love these questions. Keep them coming. So I think what I'll probably do for the rest of the call is start working through these questions from the first one to the latest ones. So let's take one more minute, whatever questions you have. And feel free to – some of you are already doing it, Lashui and Helen and Tim, Jennifer posting on other people's comments, reading other people's things. You may have ideas too. There's a lot of wisdom in this community. So let's just take another minute. Feel free to read other people's, but post your own questions. One more minute. Okay, so let's start working through these questions. Okay, so Lucia, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. She said, I love networking, being with people, public speeches, but need to refine techniques. So this may be part of it, is that you may have a natural proclivity to do one thing. Like you love networking and yet you don't find you get a lot of results. You enjoy the process of it, but you don't get a lot of results. So that's great. Just, Lucy, I'd say just notice that it's great that you know that. In one of the later calls, we'll be going into some of the main techniques to tweak each of these things so that they can work the most effectively for you. But that's the first part. It's just to even notice what fills you up. You know, some people are more introverts. Like I'm more introverted than I think a lot of people would guess I am. So I can do the networking, but eventually at a party, you're going to find me just sitting on a couch talking with people one-on-one or with a small group of people. I can push myself, but one-on-one is really better for me. I'd like small talk drives me crazy at a certain point. So that's great. Lashui was saying, I love the idea of webinars and teleseminars, but the technology seems complicated. So again, with a lot of these, sometimes we just need to know how to do it. And throughout this course, I'm going to be introducing a ton of resources to you and things to check out. because I would say trying to do any of these things on your own is futile and extremely difficult. It's sometimes we just need somebody to hold our hand and walk us through it. It's like, you know, you're trying to learn how to use Excel or Microsoft Word the first time or any computer thing. And you're like, this is going to take me 10 hours by myself, but if I could just have somebody sit next to me and show me, it'll take me 10 minutes. So if you feel overwhelmed with the technology of how to do things, you're not crazy. I think it's easier to have somebody help us. And it's the same with health. You know, somebody's like, God, I've had this health thing for a long time. I don't know what it is. And then I come to you, talk to you after a session, you know, or two, you figured out what it is. And they've been working on it for years. So sometimes just having outside perspective is the most useful thing. And working with somebody who's already done it, has already been down the path, which is, again, we'll talk about this tomorrow, which is probably why people are drawn to you in the first place, because you've already gone down a path that they want to go down. So you can kind of reach back and help them along. So with webinars, teleseminars, in a later call, we'll go into some of the people that you can talk to about that. Tara Tunstall says, I really feel like once I'm clear on my platform, the public speaking will flow. I would say there's a ton of truth to that. Of course, there's always different techniques and things we can use. But fundamentally, knowing what you're talking about, having a clear message, a clear voice, a clear sort of heart to what you're doing is going to make everything so much easier. Because otherwise, what you're left talking about is the boat. You know, otherwise, we all our talks have to be about, let me tell you about this modality that I do. And that's only compelling to people who want to learn about that modality. It's eventually going to be compelling to your clients, but to start off with, it's not usually that compelling. So yes, the platform is more than just what we do and how we do it. There are these five other elements we'll go into tomorrow, which a lot of you probably are already read about, already familiar with. Samia says, I don't get the party thing. What would be the pretense for the party? So this is funny. I've used parties super successfully as a way to deepen my relationships with my clients and with new communities. Most places I go when I do a workshop, I host a party. And so we'll go into this more probably in one of the last couple of calls. But the basic idea is if you want to deepen your relationships with your existing favorite clients, if there are people who are kind of hubs and they're connected and they could be a real source of business for you, if you can invite them to a party that you're hosting, it can work. Like when I'm in Toronto, I'll do a party called the Green Grub and Gather, and I invite all my favorite clients plus people who are hubs, and it's just a mixer. Just, hey, everybody, let's all meet each other. You're all cool people. And people come. That's all I can say. People come. And they totally enjoy it. And because I'm the host, most of the conversations in the evening end up being about me. You know, hey, how do you know Ted? How are you here? So I don't need to say anything about myself. But people, and like these hubs who are good connections, end up talking to my favorite clients who love me. And so parties can be great. But we'll talk more in detail about that in a future call. Kathy said, are there a certain number of paths to engage that work optimally? I really don't know. This is my gut sense of it is to pick three. Pick three that you feel most strongly about, that most resonate with you, that feel like, yeah, I could do that and that would really fill me up and be effective. And once you've got those three down, then you might want to add them. You know, at this point, you know, I think part of this idea of having the containers, having business systems. So there's a certain point where you're like, okay, I can do like public speaking in my sleep. I totally know how to do it. Or social media, that's really easy now. It used to be hard. So now I can add something. But I would pick three and really work those as best as you can. That's my sense. We don't want to overwhelm ourselves with things. Sometimes less is more. Sometimes it's better to take three things and do those really well than to try to do 10 things sort of well and then feel like we're always behind and stressed out. So Tim Emerson said, questions. What are the other things you can be known for? Though I know it's in one of the things you sent us, so what about the containers? That's funny. It is one of the things. And I'm actually going to be posting a PDF at the end of this call that's like 70 pages of all of the blog posts that are relevant to what we're going to be talking about today and tomorrow that you can read. You don't have to read the whole thing, but it's kind of there as a resource material for you if you're feeling lost or confused. So what about the containers? The example you've given us is a website. What other containers might we consider? Super excellent question. So the container, it's honestly a relatively new thought. So I've been in some ways like struggling to articulate it because it feels like it's so many things. Your landing page. You know, my colleague Bill Berrien just did a big how to run teleseminars course that I was promoting, and he was talking about how, you know, when you went to sign up for it, there's like a single kind of web page, right? And you could go put your name and email and sign up for the teleseminar thing. There was a headline, and here are the five bullet point benefits that you can get from it. And he was working with somebody else who had a similar kind of landing page. And this person said, well, I'm getting about 10% of the people who go to this page sign up. And they were thinking, how can we get more people going to the page? Right? So it's like, I've got this bucket and it only holds about 10% of the water that I put in. So the idea is I want this bucket full, so I'm just going to pour in more water. And Bill's thought was like, let's look at the leaks in the bucket and plug those first. So let's see, can we make the headline on this page better? Can we make the bullet points more compelling, better picture, whatever it is? Can we experiment with this page, this kind of container, this bucket of this landing page, and see if we can plug some of the leaks? Because if you could take it from just 10% of the people who visited signing up to 20% or 30% or 40%, you know, you would obviously – that is a lot more energy efficient than just constantly needing more and more people. So your website, the landing page, the story of your business is a container. A story is something that people can find themselves in. They hear your story and they go, oh, I fit here. Yes, I love this story. I'm one of these people. A free workshop that you do in some ways can be a container. Your blog. In some ways, I'm just noticing as I talk that the paths and the container can start to overlap because the container is fundamentally the embodiment of your platform. Yeah. It's the way that we express it, and that will also show up in our paths. The community you cultivate and create, online forums, live events, your email list, it's all the structures that you create to kind of hold your community. You know, I was thinking about this the other night, and yeah, like I was in this Gaelic movie. Some of you may have known about last summer. It was a Gaelic short film. And I've never really told anyone about it. I haven't put it on my email list. Why? Because there's like a Facebook page or group for it, but there's no DVDs available. There's no website. There's no email list people can sign up for. Where would I send them? There's no container. One of my dearest colleagues in the world, I just adore him so much, and yet his website isn't ready yet. And I've been wanting for like 2 years to promote the heck out of him to my list. But he's not ready. I know that I'm going to have one chance to launch him. I really want that to count. I want it to matter. If I send people now, they're going to go. They'll get very little from his website, and they'll probably leave. They won't sign up because there's nowhere to sign up. Yeah, so I hope that helps give a sense of it. That another way to look at the containers is this idea of the sales funnel. So if you go to an ice cream shop, you can get a free sample, pink spoon. You can get ice cream cone, a bucket, ice cream cake. And some ice cream stores, believe it or not, have a fancy schmancy like a subscription, like a club you can be part of, where every month you get some outrageous flavor of ice cream nobody's ever tried. And it costs a lot of money, but people sign up. If you go to a yoga studio, there's a free pass, drop-in class, a 10-pass or a month-long pass, a weekend retreat, and the teacher training. There are all those things. And all of that's the container. And we want to make sure we have all the levels of that, not just one. And I would suggest that one of the biggest blunders that most practitioners have is they're lacking levels to this container. Could you imagine going to a yoga studio and saying, hey, I was wondering if I could drop in for a class? And they said, oh, sir, we don't do that. But we do have a teacher training coming up next week. So it's $3,000 if you want to sign up. You get it. It's like it's too much. It'd be like meeting somebody, and at the end of the first date, they're like, would you marry me? You know, so like, whoa, too much, too soon. But at the same time, there are people who are collapsing, just give away free sessions all the time. And the pink spoons, little samples, but it never really turns into anything. I had a situation in Winnipeg where this lady, she was an astrologer, and she was confused because she said, I don't get it. I do a single session with people. I read their chart. And then that's it. I've read their chart. That's my work. So there's nothing, no follow-up. And as the faith would have it, a woman in the back raised her hand. She said, can I say something, Ted? I had an astrologer a few years ago, read my chart. It was really awesome. And then I felt totally ditched by her because she read my chart and then kind of vanished. And she's like, I wanted to ask her questions. I wanted like more of an ongoing support. And I said, well, what would that look like? She's like, a call once a month. I said, how long would you want the call to be? She's like, just half an hour would be great. And I said, well, what would you talk about? She said, I don't know. You know, where are the stars this month? And what decisions could I make? Or, you know, let's talk about relationships this time or money the next time. And, you know, whatever's up for me. I said, how much would you have paid for that? She said, I don't know, whatever her rates were. So I looked at the astrologer lady in the front row and I said, well, what do you charge? $100 a month. I said, are you saying you would pay $50 a month? It's like $600 for a year, maybe $550 for a package for the year for that service. And she was like, yes. So I said, well, first of all, you two need to talk, obviously. But second of all, I was like, do you get how much money gets lost with this? And like how many people actually didn't feel supported long term in making this journey from island A to island B or further, you know? So the container are these offers and structures that we put in place to support people long term in the journey. Yeah, so Tim, I hope that helps. Maybe if you could comment to let me know. And everyone, as I answer the questions, let me know if that helped you. The next is tarot. So if we do multiple things, how do we decide what to emphasize? Okay, so this is a super excellent question. If you have, let's say, multiple modalities, if you have multiple different things that you do, what to do? First of all, it's good to know something. Sometimes things are similar enough that you can weave them together, and sometimes they need to be different businesses, different websites. Very important. Sometimes people try to combine things that are so diverse under one umbrella, and it just makes it confusing. So remember, clarity is the biggest thing. But sometimes what happens is people they think, oh, I do all these different modalities, and so I need to explain each of them. But it's the same thing with the boat is the modality. So people are on this journey from island A to island B. They don't care about what your boat is, really. You know, let's say they have a phobia, and they come to you, you do neuro-linguistic programming. And they think, aha, NLP I've heard is great for curing phobias. They're not necessarily coming to you for the NLP. I mean, they are. They say they are. What they're really coming for is to get rid of the phobia. And they just heard, somebody told them that NLP was great for that. But if they found something else, they said, oh, I don't know, you know, this rapid eye movement stuff is even better than NLP for phobias or whatever. They would drop you immediately and go where to this boat that is faster and better to take them to that other island. So the main thing we need to do is let go of emphasizing the modalities, period. And we want to start emphasizing the journey that we take people on. some of this is going to get a lot more clear when we talk about the other five elements tomorrow. But if it's two different journeys, I would say you've got two different kind of businesses or, you know, and we want to talk about them separately. In terms of what to emphasize, this is part of it is just a life question of what do you most want to be doing and all that. One person I'd recommend all of you check out is my colleague Alex Baisley. Some of you probably know him. He's one of the loveliest people I know. And I'll put up his new website. The homepage is kind of bare, but I'll try to give you a sense. I'm going to post his thing right at the top here. So Alex Baisley of the Big Dream Program. If you are in a position where you've got so many interests and you're trying to weave them together, but you can't quite figure out how, check out his thing. He's got something called a Sprouter Kit. It's like $90 or something. Well worth it. He's one of the most brilliant people I've ever come across in terms of helping people take all these diverse interests and passions and weaving them into a boat that is not just a boat that takes people effectively from island A to B, but is a boat that you would love to be on. He's so brilliant. You know, in marketing, we talk a lot about how do we make things attractive for other people, and we forget that it still needs to be attractive to us. Alex was a commercial diver for years and did, you know, underwater welding and all this stuff. It's very hard on your body, and he hated it. For 9 years he did, and he hated it every day because the two things he hated most in the world are being cold and being alone. so you can imagine how great that job was for him. He finally quit it because he got into Reiki, of all things. And I'm actually going to post a little video that's got terrible quality audio, but if you put on some earphones, you can probably hear it. So there's a video I've just posted beneath the, in a comment beneath the post about Alex. So anyways, long story short, he got into Reiki, and for 6 years he became a Reiki practitioner. And you can imagine how thrilled he was to not have to put on that wetsuit, get into that cold, Atlantic water by himself every day. But 6 years later, he had the same feeling in his gut about not wanting to go to work. And he couldn't figure it out. He's like, I'm doing what I love, and I don't care anymore. I'm like resistant to it. And that was terrifying for him. He was like, wow, what's next? And he realized what it was it wasn't what he was doing, but it was sort of how he was doing it, that he's a gypsy. He's always wanted to travel, and yet he's stuck in an office from 9 to 5 every day doing this thing. And his wife is more the farmer. Like, she likes routine and being at home. He's like a gypsy, and he wants to go travel. So he ended up a couple summers ago packing his kids in a van and touring this workshop all around the country. And what was the workshop about? Well, when he was talking with his clients, he noticed that most of them, the issues they were coming with was about stress. And most of that stress came from the way they had set up their lifestyle. And so he was like, he got really interested in those conversations about lifestyle, and he started coming up with all these distinctions about how to help people set up more vibrant, unconventional, thriving, sustainable lifestyles. Brilliant stuff. So anyways, if you're struggling, you've got all these things, you can't figure out how to put them together, he's the guy that I recommend everyone to. Because sometimes these things can be woven together in ways that you wouldn't have thought, Tara, where it's like you don't need to sort of emphasize one because they can be woven together. Sometimes they're going to be separate businesses. So I don't know if that helps, but I hope it does. So Margaret Rinaldi asked, so it's helpful to have the past teased apart. Thought advertising was advertising. Now I see something more workable. Also, could you please go over the platform again? Yeah, so platform, again, is what you're known for. It's when people, they say, oh, have you heard about Margaret? She's the blank that blanks. She does this. It's the reputation you have. And there are a lot of different things that you can be known for, which I don't want to go into today. We're going to go into it more tomorrow. But it's in some of the reading that I've sent out. But in brief, you can be known for what you do, how you do it. You can be known for who you work with, the particular journey that you take them on. You can be known for your point of view and your take on that journey. You can be known for the bigger cause that it's all about, of why you do it. And you can be known also for like what I call Island C, which we'll sort of talk about tomorrow, which is the even beyond Island B, like this possibility that you know that's available that people don't even think about. Those are all things that you can be known for you as the captain of the boat. Just people might just love you for who you are and want to work with you just purely based on that. So we'll go into that more tomorrow, but those are some of the things. Marcella said, not a question yet, just musing on how connected all three are. Even though the first two, I find myself going back and forth between as I narrow down a focus that I know people need. I've been working on this for weeks. Yeah, they're so connected. And funny, it's sometimes like we work on a platform and then you build something. You build some kind of container out of that. And as you build it, you start to realize like, oh, that's not what I want. Or, oh, that's so what I want. And you go back and you change your platform based on it. You try something and you learn from it. So this becomes a very back and forth, in and out process. Lorraine was asking, how do you explain what you do when it's not normal? So that's such a good question. How do you explain what you do when it's not normal? You stop talking about the boat. That's the biggest thing. Because if let's say you do yoga, you do massage, or you have something you do that everyone gets. As soon as you say it, they're like, oh, yeah, I know what that is, basically. They have some sense of it. It's okay to name it. But I would say if you do things like theta healing, quantum biofeedback, Enneagram, astrological, whatever, stuff that confuses people, that isn't normal, meaning it's not normal words, it's jargon. It's not the kind of thing that people talk about. We really needed to stop talking about the boat and naming it. And what we want to do is talk about the journey in particular. And we'll talk about this more tomorrow. But instead of saying, you know, it's like there was a guy who did belief repatterning work. It's a particular modality working around beliefs. And he had gone through this terrible divorce, had this awful relationship with his ex, lawsuits galore. And his kid was acting out. You know, both parents were good people. They're trying to hide it from their kid. But of course, their kid picks up on it. he suffered with that for years. And then he got into this belief or patterning work and just came from this exploration of like, what if I was totally responsible for all of this? What if I was the one that created this? And that transformed his life. And he actually ended up creating a better relationship with his ex than he'd had when they were married. But when people asked him what he did, he wouldn't say, I do belief or patterning work. That's not normal. But he'd say, you know how a lot of men go through a divorce and it totally destroys them. And then all these lawyers and it's just awful and it impacts the kid. Well, what I help those men do is create a better relationship with their ex than they had when they were together. Does that make sense? It's talking about the journey, not talking about the boat, but talking about the journey that boat can take them on. And this is the hardest part, is figuring out what are the particular journeys that we want to take people on. Because often we want to say, oh, well, this can help anybody with anything. This modality is so powerful. It can just help everybody with everything. And that is a very quick road to frustration. It doesn't work very well marketing-wise. And I'm going to actually post a little video up on the top here that I created. It's a little cartoon. Some of you have already seen it and enjoyed it. But it's two little cartoon bears, and they're talking about marketing. So I'm going to post this up on the top here of the page. So, cartoon bears. Listen to their wisdom. So I hope that was useful, Lorraine, for you. We'll be going into that more tomorrow. It's a really excellent question. Michelle McKinney said, can you say more about containers that are not that well established in the public eye, like shamanism versus yoga, systemic constellations versus Tai Chi, for example? Or maybe that's a platform or both. I'd say it's the boat is the main thing, Michelle. I'd say that all of those things are the boats. They're the modalities. They're the ways that we take people on the journey. The container would be more your website, particular maybe events that you do, having a really well-written bio, your photo on your website, the sales funnel that you figured out, community events, online forums. Those types of things would be the container. The container for the community that's interested in that kind of stuff. So I hope that addresses it. Dana DuPont, you said there were six things you can be known for. What are those? I think I just covered that. And there may be more than this. Allison Chen was saying, I was actually wondering if there's more than the six we can think of. I bet. If you come up with any, let me know. Allison Chen seems pretty straightforward at this point. Don't have any questions for now. Cool. Paolo, so how can you build a successful website without writing being a strong path for you? Super good question. There are a few things. One, I'm going to put another resource at the top, if I can find it. So first of all, when you're writing a homepage, we're going to go more into this, but I'll toss out the resource now. When you're building a website, the homepage is going to be the most important part of your website, period. Because that's the part where people hit it and they make a decision very quickly of whether it's a fit or not. And one of my colleagues, Carrie Klassen with PinkElephantCommunications.com, who a lot of you know and love, she's written a brilliant piece called How to Write a Lovable Homepage. And yeah, so it's the Lovable Homepage Workbook. check that out. The other page that's going to be most important is your bio. That's, to me, a big part of the container / website. So let me just find the link here for this. It's here somewhere. There we go. Okay, so it's called Bye Bye Boring Bio. The colleague of mine, Nancy Jutton, from Seattle, and So I would use those as templates. There's also a colleague of mine in Vancouver, Juliet Austin. She's got a great product called Client Attracting Websites, which goes over the different types of pages you're going to want to have on your website. So if writing is in a strong path, I'd still recommend having a website. But I would use these types of materials and or hire somebody to help you. There's a reason that copywriters get paid so much money, really good ones, because it's so hard to write about ourselves. It's hard for me too. You know, if any of you have tried to write like an online dating kind of personal profile thing, it's so hard to write about yourself. Trying to write a homepage or write your bio, it's just like, God, we're so close, we can't see the forest for the trees. So get these things that can help you and give you sort of steps, but also really consider getting help. And it doesn't necessarily need to be professional help. You can sit down with friends and say, here's what I've come up with, what do you think? You said write or die application. I'm curious if you can post that and maybe say a little bit about it. Okay. That's all the questions that I have so far. So we've got another 15 minutes in the call. So let's take 1 minute to just integrate and reflect and see if there are any more questions that are coming up for people. So let's just take a minute in silence and see what you got. Hey, everybody. I think it was Mel who just said, I feel like I need to start all over with everything. And I'm curious if the rest of you feel that. First of all, I'd say that's normal. I've been thinking about marketing as a lot like the spiral, you know, like walking a labyrinth where you kind of, you walk in, and then back out. And there's this in and out process that never stops. There's the bad news, or maybe the good news, but it does seem to be the reality of, you know, we keep growing and we keep changing, and the things that worked for us 5 years ago don't feel true for us anymore. So there's a certain amount of like, we're always starting fresh, you know, we're always needing to reevaluate. So if you feel like that, you're not crazy. Yeah, it's probably an ongoing process. At least it is for me, I can say. Margaret said, do we really need a website? I'm not convinced, and I'm burned out with the whole process. I totally do not blame you for being burned out on it. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Here's the thing. You don't. You don't need anything. This is, I will say this again and again, you don't need anything in terms of the paths. You need something, but you don't need any particular thing. There are people who've built a very successful practice with totally no website because they're local, you know, and they just only work locally. And so they do a lot of, they host a lot of events, they network a lot, they do a lot of public speaking, they write for local holistic magazines, and they've developed a following in that way. So you don't need it. And here's why I'd say it helps. Here's the benefit. You know, I was at the farmer's market in Edmonton downtown a couple years ago, and these two women walked by me. One of them, I overheard her say to the others, you know, I'm the kind of person who walks the whole farmer's market, and then I buy on the way back. So, meaning she wanted to check everything out before she committed to everything. And she wanted to do that so she could feel safe. She didn't want to have to engage and get into an awkward conversation and then leave and feel like she wasn't buying anything and disappointing that person and feeling any pressure to buy something. So when people hear about us, I think we can't overestimate the importance of safety for them in approaching us. And so if they can check us out from a distance, you know, the best stands at farmers markets or craft shows always have their stuff displayed in such a way that you can check it out from a distance. You don't have to come in to look at it. So you can see if you like it and if it resonates, if it feels like a fit or something you'd want, you can take steps forward. As opposed to the kind of marketing that's like the searchlight where it's searching for people and glaring on them and being aggressive towards them, being more like the lighthouse that draws people in. And I think a website, even something really simple, can be such a powerful force for creating safety. So people can like check us out while we sleep, which to me is one of the biggest benefits. You don't have to be doing anything. You can be sleeping and people can check you out, see if it resonates, see if it feels like a fit. With a website, you can also be having people opt into an email list so you can stay in touch with them in whatever way feels best for you. A website is also makes it very easy for people to spread the word because somebody will say, oh, tell me about this woman, Margaret. She sounds really interesting. And I tell some story about the amazing work I did with her. And they say, wow, she sounds great. Is there any more info? Chances are I'm not going to have a flyer in my back pocket. I won't have your business card. And I might not even have your contact info on me. So if I could say, here's her website, go to, you know, margaretrinaldi.com or whatever, and they can just go and check you out, it makes it so much easier for me to spread the word. And part of the secret to word of mouth is making it easy for people to spread the word. So for all of those reasons, I think a website is really profoundly important. People just don't really use the yellow pages that much anymore. Most people are searching for things online. I think we can get even a basic website up, and it can be really easy. So, and if you want to do a website for free, by the way, I'd recommend for most of you getting it done professionally. But if you go, there's a website, yola.com, and I just posted it in the thread there. So Yola at the top, you can create a website for free. So if you're wanting to just come up with something but not spend any money and be able to tinker without like draining your bank, I would use a service like that. It's really easy. It's cut and drag. There's a lot of tutorial videos. Eventually, I'd probably suggest using something like WordPress. We'll talk more about that another day. So I don't know if that helps address. Oh, and Margaret did a follow-up question, said, so what about a homepage and a blog only? Here's the thing. The homepage, in my opinion, some people would disagree. My opinion is a homepage should not be a blog. I think the homepage should be a page that when they hit is all about them, not about us. So instead of the homepage being like, Tad Hargreaves and Marketing for Hippies is, then I think it should be more like, hey, are you this kind of person struggling with this kind of situation? Welcome. You've just found your home. So the homepage is like the container where when they get there, it's like, you know, the homepage is it's like they come to your door and maybe even before they come in, just like the way that your front yard looks and the door and they look inside, they see your home, and they just get a sense of it, and they're like, oh, this is the party I want to be at. Look at all these lovely people. Those are all my people in that house. And they can smell the hot apple cider coming out of the house, and you know, they see the permacultured front yard you have or whatever. They just are like, oh, yeah, my people. So the homepage should do that. And the best resource, again, I've seen on that is the Lovable Homepage Workbook that Kerry Klassen came up with. yeah. So, okay. So I hope that helps, Margaret. Lashui, thank you for posting the Write or Die application. Lucia, I find it difficult how to clarify what is most important on my homepage, as I am my brand and dealing with quite corporate people, but really caring people. Any input? Yeah, the Lovable Homepage Workbook. I would get that. yeah, everyone just take a look at it. If you go to her website, you'll see that she's got also a little quiz you can take on how lovable is your homepage, which I think is actually a great example of the pink spoon, a great example of a free sample and a way to help establish that there might be a problem or whether it's a fit or not. So even for that, I would check it out. Samia, how do you find out why the patients that you do have recommend you? I feel silly asking them, or do I need to figure out what my three-dimensional platform is and not worry about why they're recommending me? I like that term, three-dimensional platform. Thank you. I'm going to steal that if that's okay. So how do you find out? I would really just ask them, you know, because sometimes it'll shock you. There'll be very surprising answers. Thomas Leonard, he was one of the founders of the whole modern life coaching movement. And he asked a couple that he was working with, a man and a woman. He said, why do you work with me as a financial advisor? And they said, are you kidding? Thomas, you're our marriage counselor. And he said, he was totally like, what? And they said, yeah, we used to have all these fights around money, but you're so gentle, you're so sensitive, you're so good with these conversations that you just like, la, 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 you just make it all better. And we don't get into fight. So now we have this rule in the home, don't talk about money unless Thomas is there. You help us, you're our marriage counselor. And he had no idea he was having that impact until he asked. So I think it's totally legit and fine just to say, you know, I'm so curious why you, I'm so happy you recommend me, and I'm curious why you do what you say about me. Because I struggle sometimes to articulate what I do and how to, you know, how to express it because I'm so close to it. I'm, what do you say? I'm just a big fan of just asking. And of course, only, you know, asking the clients you feel that kind of connection with, but you never know. Asking that question might be part of the thing that helps foster that kind of connection as well. Okay, what if you think that your bio is not so full of credentials? You know, you're new as a self-employed person. What do you do in your bio? Well, again, first of all, I would check out the Bye Bye Boring Bio link there. Here's my main thought. And also, there's a new one. There's another one called The New About Me, which I'll post. This guy, Michael Margulis, they both the Bye Bye Boring Bio and The New About Me work with people around their bios. The new about me.com and post. So there are different kinds of credentials, Lucia. So there's the credentials of like, I went to this school, studied with this person, I have this degree and this certificate. But I would say the biggest, Margaret said, I'll bet, Lucia, that you have a whole full amazing life that led you to being self-employed is your bio, not just how long you've been self-employed. Tim says, tell your story. What's most personal is most universal. Totally would agree. Your life story is probably your strongest credentials, especially if you are doing work that reflects that. You know, there's this whole idea, and we'll talk about this more on the third call, but, you know, like the your deepest wounds are probably your truest niche, or at least the doorway into them. There was a guy I knew struggled with depression for years, and they got into meditation, and the meditation helped him get out of depression. And now part of what he does is meditation classes for people struggling with depression. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather go to his class than a class of somebody who's a PhD on that topic who's never been depressed. Because this guy who's actually been there, he knows it. He resonates. You know, he's had that experience. I'm not going to have to explain it to him. yeah. So, and thank you, Samia, for the permission to use the term 3D platform. So,
hello, Ted. Can you hear me?
Let's see. Any other questions? I think that's it. We're at time. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed this. I am so excited to be working with you over these 6 weeks. Oh, and very importantly, if you check the top of the page, the Facebook group, you're going to see this link to this PDF. It's like a 70 or so page PDF download. And this is the reading that will be most useful for you in terms of going back over this call, but also over the call for next week. And the more you can read, the more you can, you know, putter on it. I think the further forward, obviously, you'll be for the call next week. So here's, so go download that, take a look at it. And what I'd really love is to, I'll be asking this at the end of every call, is if in this group, if you can post, imagine this, you leave this call, and as soon as you hang up the phone, you forget everything, except one piece. You're only allowed to keep one thing from this call, one piece of information, one distinction, one resource, one idea. What's the one thing you would most want to keep? So if you could write that, make a note of it, what the thing you most want to keep is. If you have any questions, you can put those down. I'm not going to be checking this a ton in between the calls, but every once in a while I'll pop back. Feel free to support each other, ask each other questions, coach each other. It can be a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this, and we will talk to you next Thursday. Yeah, so have yourself a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. Take care, everybody.